The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
I believe there is a special couple in our midst this morning who are celebrating their 50th year being married. So that is Anne and Malcolm Davis. Let's put our hands together. <laughs> 50 years of wedded bliss. How good is that? That's fantastic. We should celebrate that, hey. That is just so good. And also, I want to let you know some really, really important news too, that that yesterday, 46 of us represented the church in a fine way, and we actually came second in the Masters Games. So I reckon that deserves a clap too. And I just wanted to say, you know, Emma and Ben, thank you so much. Great, great organising of us. It was against 23 different churches. It was kind of our first real stint at it, and we did good. It was a great day, great fun. I also like to let you know about two staff moves and a small amendment to something that was said last week. And so firstly, last week it was communicated that LifeStreams Carrawarra was now standing on its own financial feet. That's essentially true. They are almost standing on their own feet. We're working towards this, and it's highly likely that Darren won't be paid by us, by the church, probably within the next month or so. So just wanted to bring that little bit of clarity there. And we also want to let you know that a number of weeks ago, Sue Vorza finished up on our staff. Now, Sue served a couple of times in the life of the church. She served as an administrator with David way back when we first moved to this site 30 plus years ago, and then has just done about a 4 or 5 year stint as the youth and children's administrator, part of the support services team. And so we wanted to let you know that. And if you see her, thank her, and also continue to pray for her in the next season of her ministry and her life. I also wish to share with you that a transition that is now taking place with John Bond's paid role here at LifeStreams. We've come to a mutually agreed decision in the Lord that it's time for JB to set aside his paid position, and that he continues as the minister at large in an honorary capacity by the end of this month, by the end of October. Now, this decision has come about for a variety of reasons, primarily a growing conviction and a peace in the Lord that this was an appropriate next step for John and his role. We want to fully release John from the day-to-day sort of usual administration and expectations that I place on our staff. The third thing is there's growing demands of his national and international ministry. We also thought it was appropriate in the current financial squeeze on our LifeStreams budget. Also the sense that he needs to be more available to his family, to Julie, to the children and grandchildren when he's not out of the country. And also the growth of Sun Life Ministries and the associated doors that are opening. So, one of the consequences of this move is that he'll be stepping aside as from the leadership and the membership of the C2C team. And for the immediate season, I will assume the leadership with continued support from my PA Irene and also from our faithful C2C team. It allows a natural bridge of transition to the next C2C minister, missions minister. And I encourage you to be praying that God would raise up our next C2C person in the life of our church, something that we will be focusing on over this next season, trying to find that person, if we haven't already found that person. John will continue to preach, which is great. He will continue to help set up with the servant leadership team, the LifeStreams Legacy Trust Fund, and you'll be hearing more about that into the future. And we'll continue to oversee our LifeStream's international network of churches, and that again is something that we probably haven't talked a lot about, but it's an exciting thing that's happening. Many churches around the world just wanting to join into our LifeStream's international network, and we'll let you know more about that too soon. Please don't go up to him and say, "Oh, so you're retiring, John." If you want to get up his nose, do that, and he'll probably clock you. But no, he's not retiring. He wants you to know that he's not retiring. And it's going to be great to have you, your continued support. And we're gonna be seeing John around when he's not overseas. He's going to be here, or he might be ministering in other places around our great city. We also need you to know, yes, John and Julie are very connected, obviously, as husband and wife. But we need you to know that Julie will continue to be our pastoral care minister when she returns from her recovering from her hip surgery. So you need to know that. And just to finish up, John wishes to thank you for the privilege of journeying with you in and all part of the past 22 years. And he looks forward to the continuing journey with you in this kingdom life. So. But I think it's. I'm going to pray for everything that we've just talked about. It'd just be good to just again thank John and honour John for his leadership. Thanks, mate. That's good. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you are blessing LifeStream's Carawarra. Lord, please continue to grow them. In the powerful name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for Sue, and we pray blessing into the next season of her life and her ministry. And Lord, we also want to thank you for John and Julie and for their ministry to us over 20 years. Been outstanding. Thank you, Lord. Bless them, Lord, particularly as John transitions into yet another phase of his life and his ministry. We pray for financial provision as he steps out in faith. And we pray for further opportunities for him to help people find and follow you in this next season. We're also mindful of Julie's recovery from hip surgery. Please continue to heal her and help her recover in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I want to commit this message to you and ask that my words would be your words and that you would transform, encourage, and build us up by your Spirit. And through your word, in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're a Surge student, then I need to let you know that you can make your way out into, just as you feel free to do that now. So, Surge people, that'd be great. So, this morning, we're going to look at the keys to kingdom life contentment. Keys to kingdom life contentment. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you couldn't live without it and you thought that if I just had it, I'd be satisfied? I'd be content. I'd be in heaven. So you threw yourself in, boots and all, into getting it. And then when you eventually got it, you realized that it wasn't all that you thought it would be. And you became dissatisfied and discontent with it. And then something else caught your eye. And you thought, if I could just get my hands on that thing, it'd bring me happiness. It'd bring me satisfaction. And it'd bring me contentment. So you threw yourself into climbing the highest mountains, running through the fields, scaling city walls, only to be with you. And once you arrived at that next thing, you found yourself singing the words of the famous U2 song, "But I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." Now, I'm going to take a bit of a risk here. And I'm wondering whether you would just sing that line with me. So let's see if we can beat the second service at this. All right? I'll tell you next week how you went. So on 1, 2, 3, let's give this a go. And if there's any singers in the room, please you know, sort of cover up my bad singing. So like one, two, three. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. One more time. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Pretty good, pretty good, pretty good. Discontentment. When I was a boy, it was the latest toy. Oh, I need to get that, need to get that toy. And when I was a teen, it was that girl. And I married her. And when I was a young adult, it was that V8 Commodore. Anyone like V8 Commodores? Bathurst weekend? And now that I'm a man, it's... No, I'm not going to tell you. Nah, it's probably the latest and the greatest gadget. You know, that latest phone or... But I know you guys aren't like me. And you know that godliness with contentment is great gain. But have you ever been caught up in that vicious cycle of dissatisfaction driving us to that next thing only to find out that it's left you empty, it's left you discontent and craving more. And then the cycle repeats itself. And then the cycle repeats itself. And then the cycle, I think you get the drift. Do you know, dissatisfaction is carefully fed by the advertising industry. It promises again and again that our dissatisfaction will disappear if we just buy this or if we just buy that product. And we all know that those advertising promises aren't really true, don't we? But something deep in our soul that is not rational cries out, maybe this will make the restlessness go away. And dissatisfaction is what leads men and women to leave their spouses after 15 years of marriage. Dissatisfaction is what tempts people to max out their mortgages so that they can buy cars and go on holidays. It's interesting, when we were young adults, we used to play a game. We used to play a game when we were sitting there, I don't know, watching a program on TV. And we used to call it Spot the Lie in the Ad. Okay? This morning, I want us to play it together. So, let's have a look at this ad, and I want you to spot the lie.
You bought a Jeep.
Yeah, I bought a Jeep.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Did you spot the lie? You don't need a bigger boat. And the other silly thing in that ad was you don't even get a tow ball if you buy the Jeep. I mean, how's that going to work? Dissatisfaction. It's the opposite to contentment. But what is contentment? What is this thing that we chase after that just... is a yearning in our souls. What is contentment? Well, I believe Paul defines it in our passage this morning. And I'm going to put it up on the screen. Thank you, David. I believe he defines it by saying that it is an attitude of the mind. An attitude of the mind independent of external circumstances that's dependent upon God. That's contentment. And as we read this passage, we'll see that Paul was concerned with the internal life of the Ephesian church and its witness in the marketplace. And he focuses Timothy and he focuses us today on three important issues in these verses. Firstly, he calls for service among Christian slaves, among Christian workers. Secondly, he warns his readers against the love of controversy. And lastly, he warns us of the all-consuming aims of materialism. So let's read 1 Timothy 6, 1 through to 10. And you can read along with me. Verse 1. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their slaves. One thing that you need to know at the time of the writing of these verses, it is believed that up to half of the Roman population would have been slaves. And many of those would have been, many of the Christians would have been slaves. And Paul, in this passage, addresses two scenarios. Firstly, Christian slaves who work for non-Christian masters. Then secondly, Christian slaves who work for Christian masters. And what Paul is essentially saying to the church in Ephesus here is this: respect your master or your boss, whether they are a fellow believer or not. And do this so that your employee doesn't end up disrespecting the gospel, which could potentially lead them to disrespecting the author of the gospel. Does that make sense? It's also important to note here that Paul in these verses is by no means condoning slavery by saying these things. Paul uses the language there, those who are under the what of slavery, the yoke. Now the imagery here is that of an ox or two oxen being driven with a whip. And it describes the galling and the humiliating result of slavery. However, what he is urging the church to do, instead of rebelling and causing all sorts of trouble in the marketplace and inside the church, bringing slander to the ministry of the church, bringing slander to God's name, he's saying to those who are in the church in Ephesus and us today, let's take a Christ-like approach and let's serve our masters, whether they're in the church or not in the church. Let's overcome slavery by serving. That sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? That is a classic paradox. Let's overcome slavery by service. So how do these verses intersect our world? It's really important to ask this question when we're reading God's word. But let me ask you a couple of questions. Are you dissatisfied with your work or your ministry? How is your ministry going at the moment? What about your relationship with your boss? Is serving them something you enjoy doing? I believe Paul offers us a wonderful spiritual truth in these verses. And I believe they will help us to deal with dissatisfaction in the workplace, if that's where you are at as you sit here this morning. And it's our first key that we're going to look at today. The first key is this. Key to kingdom life contentment is viewing your work as service to God. I wonder what would it take if you are currently sitting here this morning and you are dissatisfied with your work. What would it take to see your work as service to God? In Colossians 3:23 it says, whatever you do, everything, the way you play sport, the way you work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Is that how you see your work? Is that how you see your ministry? That's the first key. Let's read on. False teachers and the love of money. Verse 2b, it says, "These are the things you are to teach and insist on, Timothy. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instructions of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain." In these verses, Paul urges Timothy to make sure that he's all over these issues that are in the church in Ephesus. He then goes on and he defines for Timothy a false teacher. And he says that it's someone who does not agree with the sound teaching of Jesus Christ, and then describes them as conceited, which is another word for proud, lacking understanding, someone who has an unhealthy interest in controversies, loves to quarrel about words. Do you know anyone like that? And I don't want you to say their names, okay? He then exposes their fruit. He exposes the fruit of their lives and their motive. You know, the fruit of their lives are envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant relational friction. And their motivation was what? Money. Money. And Paul is saying to Timothy, that is not faith-filled godliness. Godliness is... And I want to take you back to chapter 3 in 1 Timothy. Chapter 3 says that godliness is temperate and self-controlled. It's respectable, it's hospitable. It's able to teach, not susceptible to the bottle. Not violent, but gentle. Not quarrelsome. Not a lover of money. It's almost completely the opposite, isn't it? That's godliness, Timothy. That's godliness, church. So how do these verses intersect our world? And I think it's safe to say this, that when we're dissatisfied with our faith, if our faith is not going too well, we can become vulnerable to false ideas and false truths about God. So are these verses close to home in you this morning? How is your faith gauge? You know, we've got content here, and then we go all the way over to discontent. How's your faith gauge? Content or dissatisfied? The second key to kingdom life, contentment, can be found in nurturing your kingdom life. It can be found in cultivating accurate beliefs and exercising spiritual practices. It's about building your faith muscles. So what would it take? What would it take if you are sitting here this morning and your faith gauge is discontent? What would it take? And remember a couple of weeks ago, Paul warned Timothy with this. He said, "Watch, Timothy, watch your life and watch your doctrine closely." You with me? Let's move on to verse 6. Can we read this together? Verse 6. We read it out loud. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Godliness with contentment is what? It's great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you've got a highlighter, get your highlighter out and highlight that puppy. That is a fantastic verse. An amazing verse. And it's essentially Paul's big idea in this passage. He shares a wonderful truth. And he says to Timothy, "Timothy, this is godliness. This is godliness. If you can foster an attitude of the mind that is content with whatever situation in life you find yourself in, and foster that mind that is dependent upon God and live it out, you won't lack a thing." And then he goes on and he says, "Timothy, the reason why I share this with you is because there is nothing, not one material thing in this entire world that can give you godliness with contentment. In fact, if you pursue the love of money lifestyle, it can come with many temptations and traps and trials that plunge people into ruin. And there is a real possibility that you might do what? You might wander away from your faith. So, church, so Timothy, be content with what you have. So how do these verses intersect our world? The obvious question is this: are you dissatisfied with your income? Are you dissatisfied with what you have? Do you find yourself dreaming about get-rich-quick schemes and being consumed with getting the latest and the greatest next thing? Are you content with what you have? The third key to kingdom life contentment can be found in focusing on what is most important in life. What would it take? What are the most important things in your life, in your world? You know, I ask myself that question. You know, is it my relationship with Jesus? Or what about my relationships with my family and my friends? What about my relationships with you? Is it this kingdom life? My kingdom life, our kingdom life. Three keys to kingdom life contentment. What has the Spirit said to you this morning? I just want to give you a few moments. You know, we got plenty of time. Just a minute of silence now, just to think through this passage. What has the Spirit been saying to you this morning? three keys to kingdom life contentment. Contentment can be found in viewing your work as service to God. It can be found in nurturing your kingdom life, you know, cultivating accurate beliefs, exercising spiritual practices, and it can be found in focusing on what is most important in this life. And church, just like a physical key, this key, a couple of keys, three keys I'm holding here, just like a physical key, unless we take the key out of our pockets, and unless we take that key and we put it into that lock and we turn it and it unlocks that door, and unless we grab a hold of that handle and we open that door and we step into that door, we will never be able to experience the wonderful spiritual truth that is godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you so much for Paul and for Timothy's relationship. And I want to thank you for getting this down on paper so that 2,000 years on, we can benefit from these great spiritual truths. By your Spirit, through your Word, help us to use these keys that will help us to be godly and content in this kingdom life. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church, just in closing this morning, you've been given a community life. Can we encourage you just to read it? You also know that there's a care card in there. Fill them out. We don't collect them up anymore. You just simply place them in one of the blue boxes as you walk out. As you read the community life, you'll see that there's a blokes' night coming up soon. You'll also read about our Appreciation Sunday that's coming up. And there's some really cool things planned for Appreciation Sunday. And that'll go for the whole day. You're probably used to us just doing a big celebration of the night time. Well, it starts here, 8:45, on that Sunday morning, the 26th. So we're really looking forward to what we've got planned there. And I'll give you a little bit of a taste of that. We're wanting to give all our volunteers, all of our army of workers who work every single Sunday morning, the morning off. And that doesn't mean that you can sleep in and not come to church. We want you to come to church. And then the staff are going to try and do absolutely everything that you guys do. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes. But we're looking forward to it. And then we're going to have a wonderful party in the evening. Also, I want to let you know that we're going to have some prayer now after the service. I don't want to just stand up here twiddling my thumbs and looking silly. If you need prayer, I want you to come. I'd love to pray for you. Love to. It'd be an absolute privilege to do that. And that would be the same for everyone else who's going to be standing up here this morning. So if there's something through the service, something going on in your world you just need prayer for, remember that contentment comes with dependence upon God, right? We need prayer. So you come and grab it. And also, if you're a new friend or you're a special guest with us this morning, we have a new friends table in the cafe area. Can I encourage you to go there? You'll find some fantastic people to chat with and a free coffee, and it'll be good. So church, wow, an hour, just after an hour service.